Thank you. And for our Pledge of Allegiance, I was going to ask Manny Silva to lead us in the pledge.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of our nation. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Sergeant Silva. Under announcements, we're going to switch it up a little bit. I would like to formally request council consensus on pulling items A7 and A8, and these are proclamations for Sergeant Silva and Fire Chief Mike Pond, and recognizing them for their service and in their celebration for retirement. Do I get support on that, please?
So moved.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. And in a minute, we'll go down and do that proclamation. And then I'd also like to request hearing a special agenda item for tonight, and that would be an emergency item that would be in regard to a request from Cayucas CSD and hearing the discussion for withdrawing our application for a wastewater treatment plant, and I need a 4/5 support on that.
If you take that motion up right now, you'd need a specific motion to add that, and then a second, and then a roll call vote.
I would need a motion to add that to the agenda. If there's any motions out there.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Roll call?
Roll call,
okay.
Either way, you can do it by just...
Roll call.
Councilmember Smuckler?
No.
Councilmember Johnson Nancy?
Yes.
Councilmember Leek?
Yes.
Councilmember Christine Johnson?
No.
Mayor Irons?
Yes. Item fails to support, to be heard on as a special item.
You gotta be kidding.
So let us, at this point, we're gonna go into our items A7 and A8, and these will be the proclamations, and request the council to join me for presenting the proclamations to Sergeant Silva and Chief Pond. Began his public service career on September 7th, 1976, as patrolman with the Cuesta College Security Department. And whereas Sergeant Silva continued his career with San Luis Obispo Department of Animal Regulation as an animal control officer on June 26, 1978. And whereas Sergeant Silva continued his career coming to the city of Morro Bay as a level 3 part-time reserve police officer on November 1st, 1978, becoming a full-time police officer on July 1st, 1979. Whereas Sergeant Silva progressed in his career with the city of Morro Bay and served as school resource officer in 1987, was appointed police corporal on November 5th, 1994, and ultimately police sergeant on October 28, 2000. And whereas Sergeant Silva has been an active member of the Domestic Violence Task Force, relaying important information and assisting the County of San Luis Obispo in justification for grant-funded positions, and whereas Sergeant Silva has always worked in a community-oriented policing mode, has promoted this style of policing to both adult and children in the community through his participation in a number of events and activities. Whereas Sergeant Silva has also worked on a number of secondary assignments, including the Explorers Field Training Officer and Training Coordinator. whereas Sergeant Silver, due to his length of time with the Morro Bay Police Department, is considered the local historian, a local history in San Luis Obispo County law enforcement history, and goes above and beyond in his efforts to share this knowledge. And whereas Sergeant Silva has participated in numerous community services activities, including Caroling Cops, Thanksgiving Dinner, Tip a Cop for Special Olympics, Morro Bay Surf Camp, and Neighborhood Watch. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of City of Morro Bay honors and recognizes Sergeant Silva for his service to and leadership in the Morro Bay Police Department over the last 34 years. And be it therefore resolved that the Morro Bay City Council extends its appreciation and thanks for Sergeant Silva's many years of professional service to the City of Morro Bay and offers its best wishes for many warm sunsets. Absolutely.
Thank you very much. I'm really touched by this. I'm really honored. Thanks. What to say? So much to say. I look around the room and I don't see strangers or like that. What I see is friends and neighbors. And I think that's really was the real blessing of coming to work here. I didn't come here initially planning to stay. I always planned to go to a larger agency. How things work is that we work together as a community and we care for each other and we support each other and you know, our lives are intertwined. And one of my daughters now is a teacher and one of them is running a local store and another one's now in nursing school. And so they came up through the local schools and were raised in a community and now they're they are in the community giving back now. And so this is what it's all about, is community. And so I'll accept this, but it's not just for me, it's for all of you, because all of you helped make me the person I am and we did this together. So thank you. Thank you, guys.
Well, we have one more. Thank you, Mike. Chief Pond, it's also a great honor as well on behalf of City Council, and I have a long list here for you, and so let me proceed in this presentation and for a proclamation for you. Thank you. The City Council of Morro Bay presents this proclamation to Fire Chief Mike Pond. Whereas Fire Chief Mike Pond began his public service safety career in 1977 with San Luis Obispo County North Coast Fire Company. Whereas Chief Pond began his career with the City of Morro Bay as a fire engineer on July 1st, 1986. And whereas Chief Pond progressed in his career with the City of Morro Bay and was appointed fire captain on November 16th, 1991, and ultimately fire chief on April 24th, 2004. Whereas Chief Pond has been an active member of the San Luis Obispo County Technical Rescue Team, performing numerous rescues in adverse conditions and received San Luis Obispo County Training Officer of the Year in 2003. And whereas Chief Pond in September 1985 was part of a group of firefighters who assisted with the formation and initial training of City of Laredo, Mexico Fire Department. Whereas Chief Pond was the incident commander on the T-Pier fire on December 1st, 1988 when serving as acting fire captain. And whereas Chief Pond on many mutual aid strike teams as an engine company officer and strike team leader in San Luis Obispo County, as well as throughout the state of California and nation. Whereas Chief Pond has participated and taken on leadership roles of numerous professional and community service activities, including Rotary Club of Morro Bay, President 2010 and 11, San Luis Obispo County Fire Chief and Training Officers Associates, serving as president in both organizations, Alyssa Ann Ruch Byrne Foundation, Fire Safety for Elementary Students, Roundabout Cleanup, Morro Bay Surf Camp, and whereas a parting gift to the city of Morro Bay, Chief Pond was instrumental in writing a grant for $1.6 million to help fund the Morro Bay Fire Department headquarters complete.
All right, that's enough. Like Manny Silva, our stories are very similar. Came here thinking it's a stepping stone. I worked at North Coast Fire, then Cambria Fire for a year, and then came down here and thought, oh, I'm going to move into San Luis City. But, you know, things work out for a reason, and I think I just made this my home. It just became my home. It truly was a community of family, a fire department of family, a city of family. And I really grew to enjoy being a member of that, and was so honored to be the fire chief and work with the staff, Andrea, and all the department heads. I want to thank Rob for taking up most of council's time, made it easier on the rest of us department heads over here. Public services is always the draw, you know, it's always creating that. But there are so many people to thank in the audience here, previous chiefs, Jeff, and all the firefighters who made me look good, because none of us in a position of leadership look good without them helping. And I know that our firefighters are going to do the same thing for our next chief. They're going to work hard to make that chief look good as well. Captain Knuckles is going to be the interim chief, and I think you'll enjoy what he brings to the table as far as passion and experience and his dedication for service. So keep your eyes open and watch what happens from here going forward, because we've had a good ride for the last 28 years and 9 years as a chief, but I think you'll see some good things coming forward as well. Lastly, you know, besides the community who are so great to me, my family and the department, I want to thank the family, staff, the councils who supported improving fire staffing, improving fire department equipment and apparatus, and improving our facilities, obviously. So thank you all for doing that very much, and for those who supported a tax measure, Measure Q, to help those things come to fruition. And last but not least, and I'm not going to look at them, my family. Thank you.
I think there's some other announcements on behalf of the proclamations that we just presented from council members.
Contribution they have done for Morro Bay. I know we all appreciate them and what they've done, and so we just want to express our thanks. And like myself, I haven't been able to get retired, but really enjoy it. Rub it in when you see me once in a while, will you?
Christine, any comments?
I always think when people retire that we miss you way more than you miss us, so I hope that's the case with your retirement. Congratulations and have a good time. Two announcements. The advisory board application process is still open and accepting applications. The deadline is January 18, and if you're interested, you can check the city website, or please do call Jamie Boucher, our city clerk, for personalized attention. The deadline is the 18th, as I've said, so you have to get the form in by then, and then you also would like to be available on January 29th at 6 o'clock here in the Vets Hall for the interview process. That's the first announcement. Second is coming up soon is the Street Summit, part of the PWAB meeting. That's Monday, January 14, 6 o'clock here in the Vets Hall. I'm sure that will be lively, and hopefully we will talk a lot about streets improvement and take public input on that. Thank you.
Now, do you have any present?
Yeah, I just wanted to announce last night here we had a meeting regarding the launch of the Community Fishing Sustainability Plan. That is a grant-oriented program to basically plot the course for what our fishery needs over the next 10, 20 years, try to gather as much input as possible and put together a plan that we can rely on identifying the needs and hopefully acting on those. So last night was mostly for the fishing interests that were available, but if you have input that you'd like to provide, it's very important going forward for this document. So this project is being initiated by the Harbor Departments. Both Eric Endersby and also former Harbor Director Rick Algerts are available. If you have some specific input, you can give that to them, as well as Lisa Wise Consulting. And correct me if I'm wrong, Andrea, but there's a link on the city's homepage to this project. So if you would like some more information and specific contact information, you can find that. But if you'd like to add something, you can.
I believe there is. If there is not, we'll check and make sure there becomes a link. Thank you.
I'm pretty sure there is. But again, the Community Fishing Sustainability Plan, and this is going to be going on over the course of this year, but wrapping up fairly quickly. So I encourage you, if you are interested, to get in touch with them.
Thank you. I just wanted to follow up with some comments on Chief Pond and Sergeant Silva. It's a pleasure to present those proclamations to you tonight. It's a pleasure to see so many of your colleagues out here tonight in support, and it's a pleasure to see that you're so healthy as you're entering retirement, and that you get to enjoy that and your families and Morro Bay and the community that you spoke of. So congratulations to you guys. We have under announcement, so we have a business presentation that we're going to see here in a minute. But under announcements, I just want to cover the wastewater treatment plant. And at that time, it was requested that Morro Bay agendize that, or at least have a special joint meeting. And since we were having a council meeting tonight, that's what we did. We brought it forth as an emergency item because it wasn't on the agenda. And the procedure for that was what you saw tonight. I presented that. It required 4/5 vote to support putting it on the agenda to discuss an open session. It was voted down, of course, as you saw, so that won't be discussed. But I thought I'd give you a little bit of background on what took place and also what was happening at the Cayucas board meeting yesterday. So I just wanted to cover that briefly. With that, I would like to excuse me, I'm getting the Rob, would you like to comment?
Just a reminder, you might not have forgotten, but about D4 and that item's been pulled.
Thank you. Also, in response to that, thank you, Rob, that D4 has been pulled. It won't be discussed tonight. That'll be coming back probably at the next council meeting. With that, I'd like to invite Rose Morrison up, and she is the business speaker, and we'd love to have you come up here and introduce yourself.
Thank you all for giving me the opportunity to introduce our restaurant, New Asian Gourmet. Our family recently moved to Morro Bay from Hong Kong. However, my husband, Michael Morrison, he was born in San Luis Obispo and went to Morro Bay High. So his roots are here. We have opened a small restaurant located 430 Morro Bay Boulevard next to Morro Bay Theater to offer Asian food. We have Chinese, Thai, and Japanese food. We use locally grown fresh vegetables, try cooking healthy food for our customer, Morro Bay residents. We have many vegetarian as well as meat dishes. We do not use MSG, and most of our dishes are gluten-free. I'm very lucky to partner with Sunny Wang, the former restaurant owner in Higuera Street, San Luis Obispo. He's one of the best Chinese chefs in this area. He has over 20 years experience. Also, my sister, Wina, she is a very successful owner of 17 restaurants in China. I'm sure a lot of my customers already tried her satay, that's her recipe, in the past. Anyway, she's going to stay here for next 6 months. So she will help me and Sunny to improve our quality of food and service. We are open 4 days a week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday restaurant. We hope all of you will visit us soon and give us a try. Thank you.
Thank you, Rose. Thank you. Nancy, did you have one more announcement, please?
Yeah, just before we continue with our public comment period, I noticed last week that several people kind of forgot the fourth bullet under public comment on our agenda, and I just thought I'd like to take a minute to remind everyone, please refrain from public displays or outbursts such as unsolicited applause, comments, or cheering. Thank you very much for your respect.
Thank you, Nancy. At this time, we have the closed session report. Rob?
Good evening. Prior to tonight's meeting, council met in closed session to discuss pending litigation. This is the yearly pending litigation matter where I discuss all pending litigation that currently exists with the city with council. As to this item, no action was taken and requires reporting under the Brown Act.
Thank you. At this time, public comment is open. You have 3 minutes, and when your time's up, we please ask you to complete your remarks.
Okay,
thank you.
Don't count me yet. I have a picture I want to put on the screen. Can someone help me in the back room there? Good evening. My name is Gary Johnson, a resident of Morro Bay. I am a concerned Morro Bay citizen about where we're going with our wastewater sewer plant. I want to be able to flush my toilet. I want to be able to take a shower, maybe drink a glass of water here and there at a reasonable price. Let's go back in history. PERC wanted to build the wastewater plant where the present site is now. However, when PERC backed out, all of a sudden, there's this group was formed that they didn't want the wastewater plant built at the present site. They were okay with PERC building it there, but they didn't want anybody else to build there for whatever reason. This group appealed to the Coastal Commission to look at other sites. Now, as I understand it, this is my opinion. Now, I may be mistaken in some points here, but I understand that the city hired the consultants to look at 17 sites and came up and said, the only place to build it is at the present site. So there we go, off and running. Cut through the chase, I don't have time. If the Coastal Commission denies the site, There's a paragraph written by the staff, Coastal Commission staff, the property is worthless. Nothing could ever be built there. So what happened? Cayucas, as you just spoken, withdrew. So I believe that Morro Bay needs to join Cayucas and withdraw from the project. Where can we build the plant other than the present site? That's a good question. Shell, you know, it just gets sickening to listen to our government fight over this thing when it could be dissolved so easily. But there's this group of people, they're just against everything in Morro Bay. I could list a dozen items. You can't even build property on your own property in this city, and there's the same group of people that wants to deny anybody building. I'm sick of it. Anyway, hey, have a nice evening. Good luck, Chief. Bye.
Thank you, Gary.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. My name is Marlis McPherson. I'm a resident of Morro Bay, and I'm here this evening in my capacity as chair of the Morro Bay Winter Bird Festival. And I just wanted to alert everyone to the fact that the festival begins next week, Friday, January 18th, and runs through Monday, the 21st. And we already have 504 people registered, most of them coming from out of the county to our fair city to attend the festival. We're adding events because just to meet demand, and I just wanted to let everybody know that and to thank the city for its sponsorship of this event, along with Morro Coast Audubon, California State Parks, and the Central Coast State Parks Association. And I have brochures for all of you. And anybody interested watching can go to www.morrobaybirdfestival.org and learn more about it.
Thank you, Marlis. Anyone else?
Good evening, Council. Marla Jo Breton, North Morro Bay. I'm not going to do that. I'm here today to ask you to pull A4. From the consent agenda for discussion and a vote. And that's the award of contract to Specialty Construction Inc. of San Luis Obispo, Cali, for the project number MB 2012-W1, 2012 City Water Treatment Plant Improvements Public Services. Recommendation: award the project contract to Specialty Construction in the amount of $9,978. Anyway, the reason I'm concerned about this is that item A speaks to the upgrade of the city water treatment plant, and this is, in my opinion, deceptive. When you get into the text, it's revealed that they are talking about the unpermitted desal plant. And yes, it is unpermitted. That plant has had no permit since the mid-90s, yet staff wants to do more work on it. The CCC staff recommendation having to do with the wastewater treatment plant has this quote in it. It appears that the city does not have a valid CDP for the current use of this plant because here that need to be addressed before we're awarding more money. And I'm wondering if that that almost $1 million, is that part of Prop 84 monies? And I'm curious, I'm going to be looking into that as well. So I hope you do too. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more for public comment?
Hello there. I'm Mandy Davis from Morro Bay. I left the last meeting before you guys had a chance to make your decision. I would most assuredly like to applaud the decision you did come to. And I look forward to seeing you at the upcoming CCC meeting this Wednesday and Thursday. I know you will be there to address the wastewater treatment plant, but I would also like you to, I'd like to encourage you to show up and speak to the CCC about their precedent-setting decision regarding the PG&E plant HESS project, and to thank them, and to also let them know that the decision that they made was based on parameters that are very definitely relatable to the information we are going to be giving them and the resolution that we are going to be asking them to sign. And that would be a resolution that's asking them to investigate the CSLC's permitting process over the last 2.5 years of what they have termed as less projects, which have been at much higher decibel levels than anyone had anticipated. And we are going to ask them to suspend all seismic testing projects until an investigation and a research project that is focused on the impacts of seismic testing on the marine ecosystem and the trauma to the marine critters. So I would suggest that, or I highly suggest, because I know you guys are very interested in this subject, to show up, to show your support for the suspension of all seismic testing in our area. And I would also like somebody to get a hold of me and let me know how I can put that resolution in front of the city of Morro Bay for ratification. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Betty Winholtz. I'd like to direct my attention to the agenda tonight, particularly to D1 and D2. They both have to do with reporting of monies to the city council, and both of them ask that you receive less information or less frequently. And I would just caution you to be careful in doing that and would encourage you not to do that. And my final comment is on to D3, which is your goal setting. I'm a strong believer in goal setting, and I think it's an important task that we did on the council earlier. And I would suggest that you not go after the highest cost. I'm not sure why the highest proponent was recommended by staff. I don't believe that that's necessarily your best product. You have other offers that were at almost half the price, and I would encourage you to...
There was impacts to fisheries. They displaced fishermen, and the obvious carryover from that would be that the city was also entitled to mitigation. We were deprived of our mitigation in the fishing community, and the city was also deprived of their mitigation, as well as any businesses around town for secondary impacts. Fishermen didn't have money to eat hamburgers, I call them. So they... And then that carries over. The people don't come to watch the fishermen unload the fish, and they're not staying in our motels. And so PG&E pretty well snuck in here on that old permit, did the most of the surveys are complete at this point. And I don't understand why I'm standing here talking to you tonight, to be honest. I feel like there was failure of government on all levels, starting at state lands and then trickled down all the way to local. And it'd be nice if we could, if you'd put that on your agenda and we could talk about it in public, whatever happened here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Barbara Dorr, Morro Bay. I brought some items that I had written out on three of the items on the agenda. One was the D4 moratorium, which has been withdrawn, and on A5, the lease amendment, and the goal setting. Specifically on the lease amendment at 451 Embarcadero, the staff report says that there was an inability to provide the underwharf fire suppression system for the price allowed. It said that the amount was considerably higher. However, the price is not, the today's price is not shown in the report. And the lessee did agree in amendment number 2 to pay up to $15,000. I can sure understand the lessee's desire to get an almost 4-year lease extension, but what is the city getting in return for this valuable lease extension? Just to have coinciding dates for both parts of the lease, that's not truly a benefit to the city. You can wait.
and do that at any time. It's certainly not a necessity right now. And if the city is, I speak out only on this issue because I believe by allowing this concession, the city is setting a bad precedent for all future lease negotiations and city compensation. If the city is going to give all other lessees similar exceptions to install cheaper alternative fire suppression systems, then okay, approve this lease amendment. But if underwater fire suppression systems is the desired suppression system, basically the best system, then this lessee and all other Embarcadero lessees should be required to meet the same current fire codes. This is fire safety we're talking about. And the proposed resolution merely states, also, lease negotiations can certainly legally be discussed in closed session, but I question whether allowing closed session discussion to approve cheaper, inferior fire suppression is legal. This seems to be a public discussion whether it's the right way to go. The proposed resolution merely states that whereas the lessee is proposing to add a fire suppression system to the building on the dock with electrical and other improvements, it makes it sound like it's out of the goodness of his heart. The resolution says nothing about lessee's failure to implement lease amendment number 2. Basically, the resolution does not clearly present justification for the almost 4-year lease extension.
Any other public comments tonight?
Good evening, Mayor Irons and council members. My name is Kathy Novak. I just wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you to Manny Silva. Unfortunately, Manny's already left now, but I hope he catches this on TV later, that all the years of service that he gave this community, I think he really deserves a round of applause for that, and I was glad to see that there was a lot of people that turned out for him tonight. Mike, you're still here, so I get to say that to you personally, you know, thank you for all that you've done. I've been a recipient of the fire department services back in 2001, and I really appreciated what your department did for me, and it was phenomenal. You have an A1 department, and I know that you're really going to be missed in this town. So we'll look forward to seeing you around, and I just want to say thanks again for all your service. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy.
As long as we're talking about the fire department, I want to commend their response time this morning. There was a gentleman on the 6th green at the golf course that had some kind of a problem, a health issue, and you guys were there in about 4 minutes, so it was really great. Thank you. Yeah. I don't know his status, but I know when he got in the ambulance, he was asking about a local bar. So I think he was okay.
Thank you for that. Okay, if we have no more public comment, I'll close the public comment and bring it back to council. Any comments from council? Okay, with that, we go to the consent calendar. And any items to pull?
I'd like to pull A1A.
A1?
A1A.
A1A?
Yes.
George, do you have any items to pull? No? Nancy?
A4 and 5.
A4, A5. And with that, we can pull A1, A4, A5. So do I hear a motion to approve items A2, A3, A6, A7, and A8?
So moved.
You know, you might have to pull A1. I don't know if A1A is separate from A1. It's the same one? Okay.
A1A, so we get on that? So we can approve A1, A2, okay. So we're going to pull A1 and A1A. Okay. So the motion is to approve items A2, A3, A6, A7, and A8.
So moved.
And we have a second on that?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Christine, you want a discussion on A1?
We just have a few edits to the minutes, and I discussed these with the city clerk. We concurred. So on page 1, the first edit is Mayor Yates should be Mayor Irons in that case. And then another simple.
On to A4. Noah, you had some comments on that?
Yes, I pulled A4 for public information to respond to the questions that we've received during public comment and to give our public services director opportunity to elaborate a little further on some of those questions.
Thank you.
This issue came up during the processing of the Coastal Development Permit appeal on the wastewater treatment plant. Coastal staff was doing some research and found an old staff report that they didn't know existed with an expiration date on the for the outfall line and the saltwater wells for the desal plant. The facility itself is permitted. It's the ancillary facilities that had the five-year temporary permit. Staff informed us that they had never seen a permanent facility with a five-year operating permit and were surprised by it, to say the least, especially since they had included discussion about the city's desalination plant in subsequent staff reports about water availability on the coast. During our discussions with Coastal Commission staff, we came to agreement that the LCP amendment that we processed back in the 90s was inadequate to secure that those facilities being permitted, which a previous staff thought was what we needed to do to finally permit those facilities. And we came to an agreement that we would process a permit, permanently permitting the saltwater wells and the outfall line once the coastal staff was done with the wastewater treatment plant, because they said they really had enough on their plate as far as Morro Bay went, and they wanted to wait until we're done with that. In the intervening time, we did receive a grant from the Department of Health Services for upgrade to our desal plant, which included installation of our brackish water treatment trains, the piping modifications that both those have already been completed, and this last phase is to install electrical upgrades, chemical tanks, and modify the replace some variable frequency drives to better manage our existing permitted water supply so that we can get it into the system. You know, the city disagrees that the plant is not permitted. We do agree that the outfall line and the wells, that there is uncertainty regarding that permitting, that we need to follow up with a CDP application, and we have agreed to do so with Coastal Commission staff. And I want to say for that upgrade, and after, if this is awarded, after expenditures of the remaining funds for this project, our accumulation fund will have in excess of about $4 million in the bank still. So I'd be happy to answer any further questions. I know, unfortunately, this is one of those things that everybody thought we had done, but we didn't dot all the I's and cross all the T's way back when, and it was forgotten.
Thank you for that review. Considering the importance of the desalination plant to our local water supply and being able to maintain and operate and utilize that supply, and hearing, thankfully, that you are in close contact with Coastal Commission about this and we're going to set this right, I'm willing to approve this if there's no other comments.
I do have one comment for you, Rob, as well. Thanks for the background on that. So with the goal in mind of operating this under an approved CDP, when's the next state outage on our water supply, and what's the timeline for that? So that would mean we would have to have an approved CDP
by November
by
this
November.
Year.
Okay.
So, we do have agreements with the California Men's Colony to purchase water from them. We did that this year because we're not able to, with only half the plant running, we're only able to, we're not able to meet our demands during that state water shutdown. And that's really the purpose of the desalination plant, is to meet those demands when we're off of state water.
Thank you. Any other questions?
I just had to make a comment to thank Mr. Livek for his comments tonight and for getting this information to us really quickly. Thank you.
Do I hear a motion?
Yes, I would move approval of A4.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. Motion passes 5-0. On to A5. And anybody on that? We had to. Noah, did you have that to pull as well?
Yes, I had initiated that. And again, in response to the public comment, because as I understand, this is not a common practice for us with the number of amendments here, but it is a unique situation. I wanted this time to give the city attorney a chance to review that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I'm not sure it's that unique. We always go through amendments. Some lease sites have 4 or 5 amendments to their leaseholds. In this case, the lessee had entered into Amendment 2, which was mentioned, to install the underwater fire sprinklers on their lease site. They weren't doing any other improvements. By law, we can require these underwater fire sprinklers as there's improvements that are done to the lease sites, then we can require them. But if they're not doing any other improvements, we can't by law require it to be done. And the applicant agreed to do that. In exchange, we were giving them it was mentioned 4 years, but it was actually 3 years and 9 months is the exchange to do that. And the lease amendment said that he would spend $15,000 to do that. Unfortunately, after looking at it, it couldn't connect to the current system that was there because of fire code changes, and it was going to cost, as I remember, and Eric's not here, it was going to double, triple the cost to do that amendment. An alternative to the 3 years, 9 months would be to look at it and really analyze the cost and see if it's triple. And if it truly is triple that cost, we could have given them more years than the 3 years, 9 months. But then you're not coinciding these two leases, which we think are very important. They're lease sites that are more industrial, commercial, and believe that they need to end at the same time. So that's why, you know, it was basically a $15,000 exchange for this period of time that was agreed upon. The original project can't be done. He's exchanged that for a project that also benefits the city. But if the council doesn't feel that it's deserved, then no sprinkling will be done at all, and it will end 3 years and 9 months before the other one does.
Any questions? So, Rob, on that, just to be clear, so if it were to be denied, just based on the result that either do the full sprinkler system, which the applicant said that it was cost prohibitive, and the request was to, hey, I can do this quantity of fire protection for 3 more years. And if we don't grant that, then the lease expires at what date?
It would expire in September 30th, 2021, instead of 2025.
Okay. So, any other questions?
No questions. Just comment in the motion.
Go ahead.
And so, considering that there is quite a number of years remaining on this lease, I think that landside fire protection is important, and there is an obvious benefit of improved safety, fire safety for the community with this. And I'm willing to approve it if you're ready for that.
Ready for a motion. Also, any other comments?
Okay, I'll move approval of A5.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? None. Motion carries. We get on to A6, which was approved during. So that closes our consent because A6. But I wanted to make a comment for A6 and acknowledge the executive director for the RTA for coming tonight. This particular item was to approve an amendment for our RTA agreement with them, and basically a kind of a countywide agreement. So thanks for coming out, Mr. Straw, and appreciate that. Any other comments on consent? Okay, with that, why don't we take a 5-minute break if everybody's up for that? And we'll be right back. Thank you.
It must be something we said. Cleared the room.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Are we ready there, AGP? Thank you. We're back. Bringing it back to council, we are... public hearings, there are none. Unfinished business, there's none. Under new business, we have item D1. And
that excessively risky portfolio that crashed. Bob lost $2 billion, and not just the county's money, but other agencies, school districts, places like Atascadero's and Santa Barbara's. Morro Bay fortunately didn't get involved in any of that, thank goodness. After 10 years, the state requirement was removed, and the state suggested that agencies continue submitting the policy to their boards, but we weren't required to. They also didn't want anything mailed to them. Morro Bay has continued the practice of annually presenting its investment policy, and this is the item that you have before you. The guidelines for the policy come from the California Government Code, the California Debt and Investment Advisory Commission, and the Government Finance Officers Association. All amendments presented herein are nominal, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you, Mayor Irons.
Thank you for your staff report. Are there any questions from council?
I have just one here. In paragraph 2 on the front page, staff recommending this amendment due to the sensitive nature of the information and so on, and then skip down the line. While the mayor and city council will continue to receive the overview of sales tax performance. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on D2. I got to go back to D1. I'm sorry.
These computers.
I'm on the wrong page. All right. All the way back. So anyway, do we get to see what you decide to do was my question about what happens with our investments. Do we at some point approve that?
The investment policy is in front of you. The portfolio is available anytime. If council wants me to bring it back every quarter, every 6 months, I can bring it along. I can bring it as a function of the quarterly reports that we have in September, mid-year, and then also the one we have in May. So I can bring I can absolutely bring the portfolio as part of that.
Yeah, I think it would be nice to see it as part of the quarterly report. Okay. That's just my opinion.
I completely agree, and that was going to be my request as well.
Is that all your comments? Mm-hmm. Any other comments? Let's keep going down towards you, Noah. No more comments? George, do you have any comments? Christine?
Thank you for your report. Ms. Layton, I too would like to see the info. And I think that it would be interesting to point out, for the council may know, but the members of the public, the four people mentioned under delegation of authority and why each person is selected.
Thank you very much. We have four people that have authority related to investing. One of them is the city manager. Obviously, she is in charge and so should be involved, although I don't think she would ever do anything unless she thought that I was really doing a bad job, and I think she feels I'm doing okay. Security to make sure that I'm not doing something that's illegal, that I am following our policy, that I am sending money not to my brother, but to, you know, a real live bank. And that's, you know, I know what I'm going to do, but this makes me feel better that somebody else checks my work. So that's why we do have four people in the whole piece, just so that there are enough people that can get onto the bank and verify the wires.
Okay, thank you very much. And after my meeting today with Ms. Slayton, I think I can assure you that we're all in very good hands. If anyone's ever interested in her philosophy for investing, it's quite conservative, and I think we appreciate that from a city's perspective. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your report, Ms. Slayton. I do have a couple of questions as well. And you're managing the investment account, and my question was, is there an investment advisor that the city works with?
We don't have an investment advisor. I do use an investment consultant who works for Sutter Securities, and frequently I will call him and talk to him about various investments that are out there. Other instruments that I can invest money in, or any suggestions that he has. He mostly sells us our Federal Home Loan debentures, and these are investments that I make at $500,000 a piece. Right now, we have three of them in our portfolio, and he's one that I look to. That. I look to him also for his, he's an economist, so I do talk to him about the economy. So I guess if I had to say I had an advisor, he would be the person that I would say. He's Doug Robinson. He works with Sutter Securities, Foothill Securities, rather. I'm sorry, Foothill Securities.
Okay, thank you. And one more question on page four. Looking at number five, there's actually a list of things there, and I was just wondering if you could talk about why these adjustments were made. So originally it was not to exceed 20% for money market funds, and then there's collateralized investments. Then you go down, and there's another one on the bottom of the page, money market funds not to exceed 20%, but that's lined out. Can you explain, give us some information on why those changes were made?
Some of the reasons for the changes had to do with keeping our money more liquid. And with the uncertainty of the wastewater treatment plant and also the uncertainty of interest rates, I didn't want to lock the city into investments that are poor performers and then find out that we're stuck with them because we have a buy and hold philosophy. One of the things that has been very beneficial for us has been the collateralized deposits. And government agencies about 3 years ago, I'm sorry, banks about 3 years ago were required that if they accept public funds, they have to collateralize those funds at several different money market funds or collateralized deposit funds. And I would be locking our money down tighter than we really want to do it right now. It's not smart to do that. And so by lifting that restriction, I'm leaving it in more liquid and in collateralized backed accounts, but I have not limited myself to say only 20% of the portfolio can be in this and the rest of it has to be in something that we can't touch.
Okay, thank you. And this comes back to us annually, so
yes.
Next year there might be some other adjustments that we work through as well. Thank you for that. And so where would be a good place to insert reporting methods? Page six, as far as Nancy's recommendation to report on a quarterly basis, yeah. Would that be on reporting on page six, would that be a good place to insert on a quarterly basis, we get that information?
Yes.
Okay. Any other comments? Do I hear a motion?
Move approval with the adjustment to the reporting component on page six to include on a quarterly basis presented to the City Council.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None? Motion carries. Good job. And with that, we're on to item D2, and that comes to you, Ms. Slayton, as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Item D2 is authorizing the examination of our confidential sales and use tax information. We have a consultant, Hinderleiter, Delamas and Associates, who works with the State Board of Equalization and gets the actual sales tax numbers of every business in town. Every business that reports sales tax, they know who they are, what they reported, and what their gross receipts are. I get that information, and I also get reports. I get reports that are highly confidential, which actually have the name of the company and how much they reported in sales tax. And then I also get reports that I distribute to the public, which talk about groups of businesses and how they're performing, geographical areas and how they are performing. Currently, on our list of people who are approved to look at these confidential reports are the council members. And for my opinion, for your protection, I believe that it is better for you not to be on that list. I think the information, knowing that information places you or could place you in a very uncomfortable position, one that you really don't want to be in. And I have spoken to other cities. I did a poll of cities. Out of the responding cities, I had 51 cities respond. All but three, which includes Morro Bay, do not allow public.
I do have a few. I spoke with Ms. Slayton earlier today about this because I feel that it's really important that the council members and mayor still have this information available. I understand it's highly confidential. I also understand that someone could try to pressure us, but believe me, we get pressured by about a lot of things. And we're really used to handling confidential information. Our meetings that are held prior to this meeting, most of that is confidential, and we don't go around sharing that with other people. I think there are really specific times when council members need this information about sales tax, and this can be important to us as we work towards improving our economic climate. I personally am working very closely now with the economic development team, our new team, to improve economics in our city. And while I would never share this information with them, I feel that having the information is important as we work towards improving our situation. Also, Ms. Slayton, didn't you tell me that many of these cities that don't share this information are much larger cities than just our little Morro Bay?
There were a number of them that were larger. If I looked overall, I would say that I would say half of them were larger cities. And the rest of them were more on the small end. I think there were about three of them that were our size or smaller.
Noah, do you have any comments?
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with Councilmember Nancy Johnson. Although I did want to make a question or a point, because I personally have never accessed individual tax records for a business, but what we do see is the presented generalized categories of either a certain area of town or a sector, a different business sector or industry. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're suggesting that we should not, or that is information that's what you're referring to as well when you say puts us at risk and under some form of potential pressure?
I'm mainly concerned with you knowing mobile gas stations' receipts. I'm not concerned that you know what the gas stations do, but I'm concerned that you would have the information specifically for mobile, for Valero, for Albertsons. It's one thing to know that the retail stores are doing this or the gas stations are doing this, or the construction firms, you know, businesses are doing this. It's another thing to know what Rite Aid does or what the Morro Bay Pharmacy does. That's getting a little scary. And if that information were to get out, we can lose our contract with the State Board of Equalization. Now, nothing. I've never heard of it getting out. I'm just more, I guess I'm just trying to err on the side of caution.
So just confirm with me then, if we were to go forward with this as you're recommending, we would still get those generalized reports. Okay.
Yeah.
There hasn't ever been any problems in the past, so I don't see any need for the change at this time. I'm not so sure that we really are interested in going in there and finding out, but just to know how our city is going, it's. I think we should have the ability anyway, as the elected officials.
Are you done? I have some comments on that, and I think you covered some of it, Ms. Slayton, as far as for us to access information and to for any type of financial reason, we have those generalized sales tax informations for us to make that type of decision. And the level of detail for one specific business, or let's say 10 specific businesses, or let's say all the waterfront businesses, I'm not sure I understand why I would need that as an elected official to understand why, you know, each one of those businesses. But we do have the availability of understanding what the revenue sources are for the waterfront in a general sense, and the types of businesses. Is that correct?
That's correct. What you get now is you get a listing of geographic areas, and it'll give you the Embarcadero, and it'll tell you that the Embarcadero retailers contributed this much in sales tax. And then we have other reports that say take it down to specialty and novelty shops, restaurants with alcohol, restaurants without alcohol, hotels. It breaks it down into categories. And everything that has at least two businesses in it, you're given the information on. If there's only one business in it, HDL will list it out as confidential and will not report information on that business, because that's something that we can't release.
So if we needed a higher level of information, and we needed that particular information, would there be a way that you could deliver that information in a way that it gives us the information through you, but we don't necessarily have to look at the specific sales tax? Could you think of a way that if we had we just wanted to research a certain area or a certain business, do you think that there's a way for us to you could help us with that?
It would depend on if you wanted to look at, let's say, secondhand stores. You wanted to know what the secondhand stores were doing. And we have four or five of those. I could go in and gather those together and tell you that the secondhand stores contributed this much in sales tax. If you were asking me specifics, again, I would be more inclined to tell you only if there were at least two that were reporting sales tax, because then it's not, you can make an assumption that one's doing more than the other, but you don't know exactly how much more.
Okay, thanks. My comments on this, I think that that I'll make a motion that we approve staff's recommendation on resolution 2-13. Authorizing the examination of sales tax transition and use tax records as recommended by staff. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
Let the record show 3-2. Motion carries. Moving on to item D3, that will turn over to Ms. Luker.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council, and welcome to 2013. This evening is background. We're talking a little bit about the annual goal-setting process. Back in November of 2007, the City Council at that time conducted an annual goal-setting process, believing that it was a very important part of strategic planning for the City of Morro Bay. Following that goal-setting process, the city in some way, shape, or form has conducted a goal-setting process every year. In anticipation of the event for 2013, we sent out a very brief request for proposal late in November of 2012. We had a quick turnaround time in anticipation of putting this item on the December 11th agenda for your consideration. Three of the four proposals that were sent out, and we sent out to only local San Luis Obispo County facilitators, were returned, and those proposals were attached to this staff report for your review. Prior to writing and distributing the RFP, I did contact the other cities in this county to determine who they had successfully used in prior goal-setting processes, and the majority, in fact, all of those people that were suggested were sent proposals. Staff reviewed the proposals that were submitted, and based on the experience and knowledge of the City of Morro Bay and the contents of the proposal, staff is recommending Don Marushka and Company for our 2013 process. As you're well aware, Mr. Marushka has done a number of goal-setting processes in the county as well as out of the county. He's also worked on other significant projects in the City of Morro Bay, including significant work with the fishing issues. He's currently, and I think actually even this evening, working with the City of San Luis Obispo and also working with the City of Pismo Beach in the upcoming months for their goal-setting processes. Traditionally, goal-setting in Morro Bay has followed a similar format, and I just want to briefly review with you what that format has been and what was included in the RFP that was distributed. Again, that won't tie you to an exact format, but probably it will tie you to some time constraints based on the budget that we've been provided. Basically, the City Council, the City Manager, the City Attorney, and the department heads are interviewed prior to the goal-setting process. Those results are tabulated. After tabulation and inclusion of all the information that's gleaned from the council members and the mayor, those goals or that information is redistributed to you. To then prioritize prior to the first session of goal setting so you have an idea about what your other council members are thinking about and gives you a starting point. Also, things that are done prior to the goal setting process or the actual first day as a review of the 2012-2000, that pared down number and associating success factors with each goal. So how can we know we have success with the goal if we don't put a specific success factor with that goal? That is traditionally what we've done. Both those half-day sessions have included, prior to the beginning of the workshop format, a public comment section where the public has been encouraged to provide their input on the goal-setting process. Something that I included in the RFP this year that we haven't done in the past is had a separate day that's specifically designed for the public to participate. It's the public. The concept was to make sure that the public knew that this day or this half day or these few hours are set aside for you to come and share your feelings about goal setting. And that was also included in the RFP this year if the council is interested in doing that. Following the workshop, the facilitator will provide a summary of the workshop results with the goals that were mutually agreed upon with the City Council. And then we have brought that document to a City Council meeting for formal adoption. In conclusion, we're asking you a couple of things tonight. First, we're recommending that Don Marushka be hired for this task. One of the questions is, are you interested in holding a public participation workshop prior to your goal-setting workshops? And then looking at the calendar of events that the city has coming up, looking at Mr. Marushka's schedule, we've tried to provide some days that are available in terms of not conflicting with city meetings and not conflicting with something that Mr. Marushka has. And those dates have been included on your staff report. We've been pretty clear about evening or morning or daytime on those dates. And I won't review those for you, but we've provided five options.
I did want to briefly review. We did receive three proposals. I think there was a comment in the public about them being quite different in price. And I just want to reiterate with you that Mr. Marushka's estimate is $7,500 if we add the additional public workshop. That additional half day or a couple of hours, it will go up to $8,500, which is indicated in your staff report. The other two proposals we have are $6,300 plus any out-of-pocket expenses that might be incurred, and that's from Mr. Foss. And the third proposal that we received was from Chuck Anders, and his price was approximately $4,000. And any other, if there's any other services, those will be billed on an hourly basis. So again, I'm asking you to make a couple of decisions tonight. First, who you would like to facilitate your goal setting process, the format, and then if we can pick dates, we can move ahead with letting the public know and getting some information out so we have a really productive process this year. I'm happy to answer questions you might have.
Thank you for your report. With that, we'll bring it back for questions to council. And George, would you like to start off with any questions?
Well, I don't have any questions. I got some comments.
Great.
Want to hear comments now?
Yep.
Ooh. Well, here we go again. I mean, I remember last goal setting. We threw away a bunch of money, didn't get a thing done. About the only time we got anything happen after that goal setting thing. And if we want to do goal setting, let's do it in-house. That's why the people elected us, not by throwing their money away. Let's get it done right here. And that's my comment.
Thank you, George. Christine, do you have any questions or comment for staff? Or just comments?
Are we discussing now?
Sure.
Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. You know, I absolutely had the same thoughts that Councilmember George, you had. When I looked at it, especially this year, I really want to do goal setting, and I believe our community really wants to see an organized goal setting process. So do I hear you? May I ask you a question? George, you're committed to goal setting.
Pardon me?
It sounds like you're committed to goal setting.
I'm committed to goal setting.
That you want to do goal setting. Then you're wondering if we could do it in-house this year.
Yes, I like to do, like I said, I like to do it the old football way. Let's get in a huddle. You know, we can figure out what the plan is right.
Conversations going back and forth.
Sorry, my fault.
Yeah,
sorry. Yeah, apologies.
That's okay. Let's just kind of go through it, and then we can all comment.
Okay,
and
so I think that there are two. I thought of it myself to do something in-house, what that would be like, what I believe our staff are absolutely capable of doing it, and I believe the city manager and the mayor could definitely facilitate something. I believe in a very strong public role, and I would like to see the public have an opportunity to present, you know, as soon as possible in the process, and then we learn what they want, and then we can, you know, help us get there. And the second thing I would just comment before we move on is that I do think there is value to some kind of team building activity or exercise. So I think if we're going to spend money, I would feel, you know, something that would be in the city manager's budget somehow to do some kind of team building, maybe a half-day team building for the council, perhaps with the department heads as well, but we could discuss that. Thanks.
Nancy, would you like to make your comments?
I really tend to agree with George, although I feel like we got some things out of last year's workshop. I got a great new pen. I agree. I would like to see it done here in council. We do have $5,000 budgeted, and if the council does vote to have an outside facilitator, I would say let's ask him to do it for the $5,000 budgeted and not go over our budget. We have a lot of money that we can't afford to spend on those things. Just another observation. I think it's probably pretty obvious that our number one goal is going to be taking care of our wastewater treatment plant, whatever that may be, and I think that's going to be an all-consuming project for a while. So I really think that if we're going to do goal setting, we probably need to postpone it for a while because I don't think we could get consensus on much of anything at this point anyway. So those are kind of my off-the-cuff feelings about it, and I may have more to say later. We'll see.
No, do you have any comments?
Yeah, I do. I have been a fan of the goal-setting concept. I think it's an important process, particularly. I think I'd personally would like to see us, because it would be helpful to have someone outside that's not as tied to the inner mechanics of the city assist the city manager and mayor if this is the direction we go. I'd be interesting to see what we could do to basically try to utilize our goals and information that were developed last year, because I think actually we did find some good consensus last year, and you might not have expected that going in, but we did. And many of those goals, I had a chance to look, will carry over. And let's try to take that information, work with it, and make sure to improve the public comment and participation component, because I felt like last year that was definitely an area that was weak, and particularly because most of the workshops were during the middle of the day.
Andrew, could I have you respond to past goal setting, Mr. League's comments about, you know, our past goal setting, what we got out of it, measurable goals, and just talk a little bit about that for me, please, and then I'll make some comments as well.
Thank you. George did share some of his thoughts with me today, and we discussed them a little bit.
Good.
That was a great discussion, George. One of the reasons that staff appreciates the goal setting is it really provides us a direction on where we're going, and it sets the stage. And if I think some of the council members were here when we talked on each staff report, we actually cited which goal that staff report fulfilled. And that was a great thing to do. It really kept us, I felt it kept staff, and it kept, with all due respect, the city council on track as to where we're going and why we established those goals. And it's certainly nice to have a goal setting process and then follow that up with a budget process. I certainly agree that it would be nice to have a more robust public participation section. I think whatever we do this year, we'll try to enhance that. We hope they will participate. As the city manager, I do have a little bit of a concern about facilitating an event like that. One of them is a time constraints, but the other one is that I think that you really need somebody that's a little bit outside this group. You know, whether or not Mr. Marushka is available to do something for us for $5,000, I'm sure that he is. I think the city might be able to handle their public participation section on their own if we're looking at ways to pare down. So those are some options that we have. But I do think it's worthwhile. And one of the things perhaps that we can do that we haven't done in the past is do maybe a half a year, a six-month review of here were the goals and here's the progress that we made. I know that we did that with our management partners study when we did that. We did an update on a fairly regular basis. And we haven't done that with this set of goals, and it's certainly something that we can do. And it might be helpful to really realize how much progress has been made and how that goal-setting process has been beneficial.
Thank you, Andrea. I agree with your comments, all of your comments, actually, but let me make some remarks on this. As far as our wastewater treatment being our number one goal, I think that kind of speaks to, you know, having an outside facilitator identify some full comments about community. And that's the other part of goal setting as far as the public goal setting workshop that I think that brings value into that. I think we heard about that over the last year, and we probably hear about it more than that. I'm sure there's others that can comment on that. But if it means that we need to pare down on the price on this, I think we should discuss that. I think it would be beneficial to have it facilitated for many reasons, one being time constraints for all of us, our city manager, and all of us on council. I mean, that would be great if you wanted our city manager and myself to help facilitate this. I think to get the most out of it, I think we should think about that. And so if it's $5,000 that we have to deal with, and we have a basic format and dates that we have here on the table. I'd like to discuss that, and maybe with our city manager's participation on some ideas on kind of putting that cost analysis together with what kind of functions city staff can do as well. But before we go there, I'm going to turn it down towards Christine and see if you have any comments on that, and let's go back through it and discuss what our options are.
I'm comfortable with the idea of hiring a facilitator within our budget. I think that that will enable us to move quicker, perhaps, than if we did it entirely in-house. So I would be comfortable with that if we wanted to do a blend of some things in-house and then having a facilitator do maybe the overall layout for us. And I also need to disclose that Don Maruska did send all of us an email yesterday following up, and mm-hmm. I did have a phone conversation with him mm-hmm. about, and he does seem very flexible. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure if we went back to him and said, well, you know, our goal is to save money, so what can you do for us for our budget, entirely in our budget? Mm-hmm.
George, can you comment on this anymore?
I don't think you want to hear any more of my comments. I still believe that I've got all the confidence in the world. You could do this. I watched them the last time, and any of these folks could do the job that facilitator did. I was just shaking my head all the time. I'm thinking, why are we having this person sit up there, and why Rob could have done that? But I understand the spot they get into, but Mr. Mayor, I think you could, I think you could handle it, and I think we could get this done and not spend a dime. How about that?
Okay, thanks. Nancy, would you like to comment on some of this?
Sure, you're not going to like it, but I'm going to say what I'm thinking anyway. Our previous mayor said I was good at that, so.
You are.
I think it's kind of a waste of time and money at this point with this council. We have a very contentious council. I think those of you who were recently elected are so consumed with belief that you're the chosen ones.
I think it's important to have a neutral party involved because there is so much buy-in and involvement that it can be challenging, like you said, to try to look at it from the outside and hopefully guide us in a direction that actually helps uncover common goals something along the lines. I felt like the facilitation last year definitely could be improved upon. I agree with you. And yet we still did, like you said, at the end of all that, we came up with some valuable information. And I think it did help guide our work for the last year. And one of the most important things that I see out of this is with the goal setting, we have the opportunity to set a very clear message before the budget workshop and in time for our department heads to look at our priorities and our goals and try to build that into their budget. And that has saved us a lot of time and effort when we get to that budget period to be closer to what we're expecting and hoping to achieve. So I think time is very important for us if we're going to take a little more to look at what Mr. Maruska could bring back to us. I agree, let's stay within that $5,000 budget, definitely. And just for information, it's from what I understand, last year we spent $5,500. So if we could stick with the $5,000, we're saving some money. Hopefully we're building in a much stronger public input and participation component. And I expect that we'll come out with some common goals and be agreeing on the majority of it.
May I make one quick comment?
Yes, please.
I think, since we're obviously going to go ahead with this, in order to keep it down to $5,000, I would recommend that the public input part be done as part of a city council meeting. I think it should be on the agenda, and we could get public input that way, which I think would save us both some time and some money.
And I would ask our city manager about your input on having a public workshop prior to council meeting. And can you comment on that and how beneficial that is? Have you experienced that?
I think my feeling is that if we actually had a workshop prior to the city council meeting, it might be difficult with timing. I think what we've heard from some of our public is their concern with some of our daytime meetings, and if there's public participation, are they able to do that even if it was at, a 5 o'clock? I believe in 2011 we did take public comment. I'm sure we took public comment, I think, during a public hearing when we talked about this item, and perhaps that's what Councilmember, not to put words in her mouth, Johnson is speaking of, is actually have it as part of the city council meeting that starts at 6 or maybe start a little bit early, and the public comment for the goal setting will be happening at 7 o'clock and allocate a couple hours for that. Having workshops prior to is always difficult because you've got that time constraint of we can only have it so long because we have to start our council meeting at 6, similar to the Joint Planning Commission City Council meetings that we're going to talk about in a bit.
Okay. So does hear everybody's input, and those goals get put together by somebody that, you know, it is a neutral party, and they're professional at that, and they understand how our diverse council might be at this point. And my hope would be that, you know, as those goals develop, that basically the council is bought into those goals. And if we're all bought into them, then certainly it would be easy to implement them because all of us had agreed to those goals going in. And my thought on that would be that absolutely, I think everybody's input on that, and all my colleagues on this board and council, I value your input, and that's one of the reasons I'm a proponent of the goal setting, and I'd like to work on. It seems like we do have a mixed feeling on which way we're going on this to all our council members, but I'm going to push to. Lack for a better word, to help us achieve a goal setting, and I'd like to see us do that within our $5,000 budget. I'd like to see a facilitator help us with that for all the right reasons, for all the reasons that, you know, bring out everyone's input and goals. So. Andrea, if you can capture what we've said and bring us back into discussion on, we've dialed into a $5,000 budget. You laid down that we have a format and dates. So if we have, but what we added to that was a $5,000 budget. We need to dial in whether or not we would agree with a Mr. Maruska or the other two proposed consultants, and then the format, which is fairly well laid out in the staff report, and then the dates. So I'd like to bring it back for comments on who. And I'll start with Ms. Johnson. Nancy.
I think if Mr. Maruska is willing to work in our $5,000 amount, I think he would be fine. I've worked with him on Economic Vitality Committee, and I know he does a good job. I just want to say that, yes, Andrea was right. I was looking at a public hearing item, like at 7 o'clock, for public comment on this before we do the workshop, not afterwards. I just want to clarify that.
Thank you. Noah?
I would agree. I believe Mr. Maruska's experience within Morro Bay and his understanding there will help him work within that budget.
Okay. Christine?
Yeah, I agree that I would My first choice would be Mr. Maruska, because of part of the conversation I had with him last night was about a very contentious time in Pismo Beach that he worked through with them. And I have heard from their outgoing city manager as well as their current mayor in Pismo Beach about, you know, the challenges that were there in the years past. And I think a lot of people in the county were aware because they are kind of public. And he really gained my confidence in that he was able to do some great work there. And now they have a new council coming in again, but they've definitely have a nice way of working in Pismo, which I think that he had commented to me that that was a challenge for them. And he had sent some information. I don't know if it was sent shared with the council or not. Andrea, do you know if everybody got that stuff?
Yes, everyone got it.
Okay. So there's one handout that he shared with me that he had worked on with Pismo Beach City Council, and it is the hopes for the city of Pismo Beach. And I think it's especially important in this particular year to find shared goals, and I think we all, I would guess, have at heart some of the same hopes for Morro Bay. So I think this year it would be very, very vital to have a goal setting. And I think I agree now after the discussion that to have it facilitated by a professional would be beneficial. There's one other item, but I can wait.
Thank you.
Thank you.
George, can you comment on who would you would support for a facilitator?
I already said you.
Okay. thanks, George. That's
that. I'm not letting you off the hook.
Okay, because, thanks.
Wait, that's my new restaurant.
Okay.
I didn't mean to do that. It just came out. I'm sorry about that.
All right.
Like I said, I want to go on record that I would like to try this with an in-house and see how it would go.
I appreciate that.
And that's
George.
The end of that.
Okay. So working through this, so far we've agreed on a workshop or on a goal setting. We've decided that 5,000 is our budget. We've got through who on majority. Now we need to consider the format and the dates. And I'm going to move it back down through this way, and we can figure this out and give clear direction for staff to help us with this. Nancy, would you comment on format, please?
Well, I would go back to what I said earlier, if in fact we're going to do this, which I guess we are, a public hearing as part of a regular council meeting, giving people a couple of hours probably, and to be sure we publicize it very clearly to let all the members of our community know rather than just a few. It's important to have a real cross-section of our community at this event. My only other comment is that I am not available on Wednesday, February 27th. The other dates are all fine.
February 27th. Thank you, Nancy. No, could you comment, please, on format?
Yes, I think that it's important for the public to have a chance to comment early to help guide our conversation and give them that opportunity, but then also to have a second chance as the information is refined and we're getting closer to what would be our final product for the work. And I hope there's that opportunity for a little more dialogue rather than just a potential one-way public comment. I'm not sure that's possible. I'd be very interested to hear from Mr. Maruska what he'd recommend.
Okay.
And I'm available for all those dates until I get my 2013 calendar.
Okay. All right, so we're down to format for you, Ms. Johnson. Christine?
I agree with the public component coming early, and I basically don't have anything else to add other than Nancy and Noah added about the structure in terms of that. And my dates are fine for this moment, too, for me.
Okay. And, George, I know you want me to do this, so if I were to do this, how would the format look like?
Like I said, let's go. I like it. In my days of football, we got it together with a huddle, so I love this huddle, you know. I just think that you could just get up here with your little board and do your thing just like they do. We get public comment? Yes, we do want public comment. I don't know exactly the times, to schedule this stuff for, but we can work that out.
Okay.
And that's just the way I want to do it.
Okay. Thanks, George. So the dates look good except for February 27th. And so we're good for all the March dates, it seems. And so that gives us plenty to work with. Is that correct? Okay. And so the format, we agree that there's some element of a public workshop in there. If we can get input with two chances, if we want to say it that way, two public workshops, or at least a public workshop and then public comment at one of the one of our meetings. And
excuse me, I'm a little confused about what you just said.
Sure.
Do you want a separate public workshop in addition to public comment at a city council, or do you think we can do both in one in a city council meeting, or even maybe two?
I think we can go with, the intent would be to have two opportunities for public input, and I think we could probably work with our consultant on this $5,000. And I think we're going to leave here with enough direction for our city manager to go back and say, here's our criteria. We want this, and how are we going to achieve that? And that's the general sense that I'm getting. Is that correct?
Yes. When you're closer, I do have one clarifying question.
Thank you. Go ahead.
And you're closer. I just want to make sure that the council would be open if Mr. Marushka wants to utilize that one of the times to take public comment could possibly be during a city council meeting, if that works, or if not, and he doesn't feel that's a good idea, we've got four other dates available that could be used for that. And then just to reiterate that generally we will have an availability of the public to comment at every opportunity, but one will be specifically to not have you engage, but just to listen to the public.
Great.
Great.
That brings up another question right along those lines. Will you be advertising for and accepting written comment?
My thought is a fantastically creative flyer that says we're looking for your input with email addresses as well as the dates of our events.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more comments?
Two things in terms of structure. So I was wondering, I know it's probably not a very popular idea, but any thoughts on a Saturday for public input? Because it's during the day. I know a lot of people don't like coming out late in the evening. I'm just throwing it out. I've seen it done other places.
I would respond to that. You know, I agree. At least we have to have some hours that we're going to do this where it's not in the middle of the day if it's for public input. So, obviously, these dates that are chosen are laid out. And if we were to get with Mr. Marushka and ask him about that, Andrew, we could leave that as an option.
I can. I don't know if it would be appropriate if the council could run through available Saturdays in the near future, maybe just send me an email. Mr. Marushka and I did not talk about Saturdays, so I'm happy to investigate that with him and find his availability first and get back to you on that.
Okay. Do we have enough direction here? So we know what our budget is. We have Mr. Marushka. We have an idea on format, and the dates that we've got so far are clear.
Yes, clear direction. If we could, I think just a motion to indicate the amount and that you've allocated that to Mr. Marushka, then we can work with the additional information. I don't think that all needs to be in the motion.
Great.
The only action we really need, and then the rest I think you've given proper direction to staff, is just a motion to approve a contract with Marushka not to exceed $5,000. That way we can negotiate exactly what it'll be for, and that it won't exceed the 5,000 limit.
Thank you. With that, unless there's any other discussion, I would make a motion to approve a contract with Mr. Maruska not to exceed $5,000. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Discussion? You have a question? Discussion?
I may have missed my chance to bring it up.
Ask your question.
Discussion about, it's not about
the motion.
It's not about the motion.
Okay.
I agree with the motion.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Motion carries 4-1.
If there's additional direction, though, that Councilmember Christine Johnson wants to bring up, it's just because a motion was made doesn't mean it can't bring up any other item. We're not completed
that.
With the item.
Yeah, thank you. Did you have a yes on that?
No.
No, that was a no. So it was 3-2, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so 3-2 on that. I'm sorry. I'm glad I asked. Do you have one more question on this?
Yeah, I apologize to drag it out, but I did want to mention something. I'm wondering, considering that we're in a two-year, I talked with Mr. Maruska about this too, the concept, I want to bring it up, get your feedback on, we're on a two-year political cycle with council terms and mayoral terms. Do we want to talk about two-year goals versus one-year goals?
I think briefly we can just ask, we could just put that out there for him and see how that comes back. I don't think we need to get into a lot of discussion. I think the parameters are pretty clear. Are they, Ms. Luker? Okay, good. Thank you. With that, D3 is closed. We move on to D4, and D4 has been pulled. So now we go on to D5. And Andrea.
Good evening once again. This is a annual meeting schedule that we bring before you for the City Council to set some specifics in terms of their annual meeting schedule. As indicated on the staff report, we would like direction on the regular City Council meetings. They're currently held, as you know, on the second and fourth Tuesdays of each month beginning at 6 p.m. Traditionally, if there is a holiday on a City Council meeting, it has been moved. It would be moved to the next Wednesday, and I think you're going to have that specific issue in February. I believe your second meeting in February, your first meeting in February, which is generally February 12th, will be February 13th, based on what we've traditionally done. As well, the City Council for the past, I think, 7 or 8 years has traditionally canceled the second meeting in July, and the reasoning being is that council members as well as staff members were encouraged, if they were going to be taking a summer vacation, to take it during that time so as not to miss a City Council meeting. We also have traditionally canceled the second meeting in November because often it coincides quite nicely with the Thanksgiving holiday, and the second meeting in December is often close to the Christmas and Hanukkah holidays. We're also asking for you this evening to discuss what you would like to do with the Joint Planning Commission City Council meeting. We've included the language that says that is indicated upon request of the City Council. The Planning Commission and City Council hold a joint meeting twice annually to discuss proposed policies, programs, and goals. Over the past 5 years, these meetings have been scheduled on a variety of days and times. We've scheduled them on the fifth Tuesdays before, as well as prior to a regular City Council meeting 1 hour prior. I will note that often in staff's opinion, there's been difficulty with a 1 hour meeting prior to a City Council meeting. It seems like often we don't have time for discussion. So we've provided these recommendations and information for you. We've also got a 2013 calendar on the back of this staff report, and we're asking you to provide guidance on the year 2013 in your meetings.
Thank you, Ms. Luker. Any questions for staff? George?
Nope.
Christine? Nancy? Noah? None?
The Tuesday, the 12th of February, what holiday is that? The President's Day is Monday. Is it also two holidays? Both days are holidays.
Those two city holidays, I think one is February 12th, and I believe one is February 18th. Those are city holidays.
Okay.
And there's
but Monday the 11th is not.
not in the city of Morro Bay.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments on this? Any input on the holidays on July, the recommendations here? Is everybody comfortable with this? Do I hear a motion to approve this recommendation, staff report?
So moved.
Any seconds?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. D5 is complete. Here we go. On to D6.
Mayor Irons, if I may. There was, I missed the discussion on the Planning Commission joint meetings. Did you want to have that discussion, or are you going to stick with the fifth Tuesdays or prior to City Council meetings, the second part of the recommendation on setting the joint Planning Commission City Council meetings?
I'm sorry. You have to speak up a little bit. Sorry, Andrea.
I'm sorry. So generally, the City Council and the Planning Commission have held joint meetings.
Right.
And they've been at different times. Sometimes they're the fifth Tuesday on particular dates. And so what we're asking you this evening is to determine when you want to have those joint City Council Planning Commission meetings, or if you want to have them. It's on the request of the City Council, so apparently, and maybe turn to the City Attorney, if you don't want to have them, you don't have to. But we're asking you, when would you like to have them? And we haven't given you a recommendation on those because we've moved all over the place in the last. We've had different dates for the last 5 years.
All right.
I'm sorry if that wasn't clear.
Yeah, we do have one scheduled already, right?
No, we do not.
There was, and it's not being scheduled now.
I think the last one scheduled did not occur, and it was last calendar year, November.
So we have interviews coming up, and then appointments for advisory boards. So would February or March be appropriate for a first joint meeting?
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. But if we go with the fifth Tuesday, it would be April 30th. That's our first fifth Tuesday. So I think first we need to decide if we're going to do it before a City Council meeting or on a fifth Tuesday.
You said April?
April 30th. There are five Tuesdays in April.
Okay.
That's the first time where we have five. And then it looks to me like July and maybe September. October. I'm sorry. It's October.
Okay. You want to target those 2 months then? That would be
ideal. If, in fact, the council chooses to do it on the fifth Tuesday.
Well, let's target those 2 months and discuss it and see how it comes out.
Okay.
So April and October look like good months. Any other discussion on who's in favor of having the joint meetings? Any comments, Noah?
I'm in favor. I think they're worthwhile.
Okay. Ms. Johnson, answer.
They're always very valuable, and I do understand the issue of trying to do it just an hour before council. That can be a problem.
Thank you. George?
I'm fine.
Okay. Christine?
Agree.
Okay. So we can do those in April and October? And we can figure out that specific date? Thank you. All right, thanks. Did you need to hear a motion on that? No? Okay, good. All right, on to item D6. And this is on council appointments for discretionary boards and liaison assignments. And all the appointed assignments are out there. I did receive emails on requests from some, and so this would be open for discussion on comments on the appointed seats. Any discussion on these? And I'll start with George once again. You're good? Okay. Okay. Christine, do you have any comments?
No, there. It's fine with me that I'm flexible if there's something that comes up.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Nancy, Johnson?
It's fine. I was just surprised to see that Noah is leaving the Chamber of Commerce Economic Development Committee.
Yeah.
Oh, you were too.
Yeah.
You've been a very valuable member of that committee, I have to say.
Yeah, let's discuss that. Is there some flexibility in there?
There is. I thought a lot about that, and I feel connected to the committee and very passionate about the work that the committee's doing. But I also know that Councilmember Christine Johnson would bring a new perspective and your own strengths. I think you have really good connections in the business community. So I found myself sitting on the fence about accepting it as proposed or not letting a rookie push me around. I could go either way. And I know there's opportunity for me to stay involved either way.
Okay, so it basically either one of you are open to that. And Nancy, you are very comfortable on there as well. Is that right?
I would like to stay where I am.
Okay.
I'm on my committee.
And Christine, how do you feel about that? Or do you feel like that's something you'd like to participate in, or do you feel like you'd like to see Noah continue on that board?
I think they're a great team, Nancy and Noah, so the ends have it.
Okay, the ends have it. Very graceful, Christine. Thank you. That's the only adjustment we have. And any other comments? Okay. So it looks like everything's there. We have. We also have the vice mayor appointment, and that would be. Andrea, would you comment on that? So this is.
The vice mayor, pursuant to the council policies and procedures, I believe, is Councilmember League for 2013.
Sounds great.
Don't let anything
Congratulations.
Happen.
I might pass that. Exactly. That's what exactly what I was thinking. Yeah.
Could have that chalkboard.
Okay.
Could we make that motion, though, even though it is done by our rules and procedures, it still should be a motion from the
thank
council.
Thank you, Rob, for that. And,
so moved.
Second?
Are you asking for a second?
Yes.
Yes, I'll second the motion
okay.
to appoint
thank you.
Mr. League as vice mayor.
Okay, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries. And that gets down to declaration of future agenda items. Anybody have any future agenda items? None? I've got one. And I would like to discuss the opportunity or what our options would be to for a consultant to help us with grants. And I think specifically I wanted to see, and then basically we would just come back with what our options would be. And that, you know, I talked with our city manager about our opportunities going into Washington, D.C. when we go there specifically for CMANC and our harbor for funding there. And I thought, you know, we're already back there. What opportunity is there with the right consultant that would help us look for more funding availability and specifically to our wastewater treatment plant? And there would be others open there for discussion. But I wanted to see what kind of support I would have on that. And basically, it would just mean that we bring back a staff report that would outline what consultants do for that type of service and cost. And then, of course, we would discuss whether or not we wanted to expend that type of money to see what we would get out of it for attaining funding, whether it's for our wastewater treatment plant or our harbor or a list of other items out there. So in a nutshell, that's what I'd like to agenda, a future agenda item.
A coconut shell?
Yes.
I support that.
Hey, Nancy, do I have any support for that?
Sure.
We have three. That looks good, and so we have three for that. Then future agenda item, we'd bring back, as specified there, a staff report that would outline what our options would be for a consultant for funding opportunities. And with that, unless there's any other comments, meeting would be adjourned. Thank you.